Where you used to be, there is a hole in the world, which I find myself constantly walking around in the daytime and falling in at night. Edna St. Vincent Millay. Hold Me. July 4th, 1976. They left at dusk, about an hour before the fireworks were scheduled, and by the time they were at the old toll bridge over the Susquehanna, Felix could see glimmers of light through the one tiny window, little celebrations everywhere. He had told Julie to take the old way to Philadelphia, up Route 40. He was being cautious, yet nostalgic, too. He had gotten his start out here, taking action in the bars. He sneezed. There was hay on the floor and a horse blanket. If they got pulled over, he would arrange the blanket over himself and hope for the best. He had started to do just that when the truck slowed about an hour into the trip, then realized that it was the toll on the bridge across the Susquehanna. Bert and Tubby had said they should put a horse in the trailer because then no one would bother to look inside. But he wasn't going to crouch in a corner for the 100-mile trip, trying to avoid hooves and shit. He had said goodbye to Bambi earlier in the day, before she and the girls headed out to the club, where they would stay until well after nightfall. He hadn't told her what was going on, but it was clear she suspected something was up. Bambi was smart. Smart enough not to ask questions. When the feds came snooping, she'd be convincing in her ignorance. The hardest part had been saying goodbye to his unwitting daughters, keeping it casual. They were used to doing things without him. His work had always demanded long and odd hours. Then the house arrest had come along, keeping him on a short leash while on appeal. No one would think twice about Felix Brewer not being at the club on the 4th of July, not this year. The girls had given him perfunctory kisses, so sure of him, and he had not dared to hold them as close and hard as he wanted to. He did give the baby, 3-year-old Michelle, an extra hard squeeze. "Bring me present?" she asked, which startled him for a second. But Michelle got confused, thought she should get a present every time someone left the house, even if she were the one leaving. He pretended to steal her nose, showed her his thumb between his fingers, refused to give it back until she kissed him again. She had a way of cocking her head and looking at him through her lashes, just like her mother. It slayed him. As for Bambi, he kissed her as if it were the first time, which had been February 15th, 1959, parked in front of her parents' house in the car her parents had given her, a last-ditch bribe to persuade her to return to college. The first kiss was at once passionate and chaste, a kiss that contained everything that was to mark their future together: his aching need for her, the slightest sense of reserve on her part, as if she would always hold back a piece of herself. Their last kiss contained their entire history. A piece of an old song passed through his head, something about flying plates and broken dates, how that was part of being in love. Bambi would never throw a plate. He wouldn't have minded if she had, once or twice. Bambi wouldn't have liked that Julie was driving him. If she were ever going to break some crockery, that might be the moment, but Julie was the best person for the job. Her sister actually had horses, or access to them, so it was plausible for the two of them to be hauling a trailer north. Besides, Julie was going to have it hard once he was gone. Bambi had the girls, friends, family. Julie didn't have anyone except her sister, an odd duck, and that was being kind. The puss on that one when she took the wheel. "This better be forever," she muttered. "You're getting yours," he reminded her. Everybody was getting theirs, one way or another. Forever. That was the word that Julie had repeated when he explained things to her last week. It wasn't quite a question, more like a concept she had never heard before. They had been sitting in the little coffee shop, his one legitimate business. The weekly receipts wouldn't have kept his girls in hair ribbons, and his girls actually wore hair ribbons. Bambi dressed them like Towson preppies, all pink and green, taught them how to blow-dry their unruly hair into ponytails. Well, not the baby, but the baby was a dead ringer for Bambi. Hair as sleek and dark as a seal's, blue eyes, impossible eyelashes. Linda was the organized one. Rachel was the smart one. And while they were both pretty, Michelle was going to be the beautiful one. They were going to make their mark on the world, each in her own way. And he was going to miss all of it. All of it.